Hear, O Israel. You approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Praise God. What a powerful message the priest was instructed to give to the people of God as they prepared for battle. And obviously, Moses, with the anointing of the Lord upon him, knew that there would be many, many times that they would need to have this encouragement, this direction, and this uplifting statement delivered by the priest and to the people of God. Neither be ye terrified. That's what I want to emphasize here tonight. However, I've asked Brother Levi to change it just a bit, to put the neither in parentheses, as though we can remove it. Be ye terrified, and that would be obviously what the devil would prefer the message to be. Be ye terrified, because you're going to be overwhelmed. You're not going to be victorious. You're going to have difficulties. But to eliminate the neither, and that's why I asked him to put it in parentheses, be ye terrified. Perhaps there are some things that we should be concerned about. It should be annoying. It should be fearful. And that's what I want to share with you here for a short while tonight. Now, let's back up to Moses and the Exodus, the deliverance by a mighty hand that the Lord displayed for the people of Israel. They lived in Goshen, and for 430 years, and as they approached that time, things were not going well for the nation of Israel. The Goshen was centrally located in Egypt. The Nile was to the west, the Mediterranean Sea to the north, the Red Sea to the east, and mountains and desert to the south, and their land was fertile. Their land was excellent for growth and increase. But during this time, towards the end of the 430 years that they were to be captive, or they were to be in Egypt, they became a slave people. The construction of monuments to the Egyptian pharaohs, or the large farms that they had to tend, the orchards that they had to provide for, as shepherds for the flocks and the herds, that no doubt that dotted the land, or the domestic servants that they were expected to be. And remember, that's how Joseph started out in his sojourn in Egypt. Moses, being the third child of Amram and Jochebed, had the Nile and in his future, in his near future. And it almost claimed him, like many other baby boys of the Israelites. You talk about a display of human cruelty. Moses escaping the infanticide efforts of the Pharaoh. And then, thousands of years later, Jesus being delivered from the slaughter of infants that Herod ordered. You know, the Lord gets a lot of blame for things. The Lord, if there's a God, why this? If there's a God, why that? There's a lot of human cruelty, a lot of human evil and wickedness that needs to be blamed exactly where its source is. From unregenerate man. And babies being killed, children, infants being killed in both instances, and yet today, babies being killed by the millions. That's something to be terrified about. But we'll get to that a little bit later. The first 40 years of Moses in Pharaoh's palace was that of privilege. position, training, all that he could gain, all that he could receive in his education, both for government and military might and mathematics and science and engineering, all of those aspects of the Egyptian culture and civilization. Moses was the beneficial recipient of it all. But there came the time, and we'll try to condense the story here a bit, there came the time that he felt he had to step in to try to deliver some of his fellow Israelites from the harsh taskmaster that was cracking the whip on them, and he ended up killing the slave driver. And as a result, he had to flee. Hebrews 11 tells us how he chose faith rather than fortune, and it led to his departure from Egypt. The second 40 years of Moses' life began with deliverance. He journeyed into the land of Midian, and there the daughters of Reuel, or we know him as Jethro also, the seven daughters that he had, Moses encountered them being mistreated by other shepherds who wouldn't allow them to the watering hole with their flocks, and Moses' hand delivered them. And moreover, he helped them water their flocks. This brought an introduction of Moses to Jethro, and then a marriage to his daughter, and Moses became a shepherd in the desert, the backside of the desert. He wanted no part of anybody else, just him, his family, extended family, and all of the flocks that he was responsible for. But that second 40-year period, as anonymous as it was, as isolated as it was, it came to an end at the burning bush. And we know how the Lord would make that call upon Moses, Aaron being his mouthpiece, and his family being involved, at least his siblings. And Israel saw God's mighty hand in the 10 plagues that came upon Pharaoh and all of the people of Egypt. Incidentally, there were 10 deities of the Egyptians that were shown to have no power over the Lord God in being able to stop those plagues. The plagues were terrifying. The plagues were harsh. But after the third plague, Goshen, the land of the Israelites, was spared. And so the Lord made a difference between his people and the Egyptians. Praise God. I'm glad he makes a difference of his people. Pharaoh recognized the power of these plagues and offered four compromises for Moses. You can go ahead and sacrifice in the land. No, we've got to travel. Well, if you got to travel, don't go too far. And if you do go, don't take your flocks and leave your families here. Go ahead and go, but leave, you know, behind that which is necessary and important to you, so as to guarantee that they would return. Any of those compromises, however, Moses refused. And then finally, a terrifying 10th plague, where the firstborn died, the firstborn throughout the land. And in this instance, Goshen, the people of Israel, could only be spared by applying the blood of the Passover lamb, and the Passover then put in place. Israel departed, a pillar of cloud guided them by day, a pillar of fire by night, as they left their land of slavery. And 430 years to the day, the scripture says, they left. And they came to the Red Sea as the pillar of cloud guided them, a large company, a huge group of people, and the fire by night that kept them together. But finally, arriving at the shores of the Red Sea and turning to see behind them the Egyptian army pursuing them, they quickly lost hope. They were discouraged. They felt forsaken. They felt like There was no resolution for them, no answer. And death by sword was what they were envisioning for themselves. And so they began to cry out to Moses, "It was better for us to serve the Egyptians." Better? How quickly they'd forgotten how difficult the circumstances were, how tearfully they said goodbye to their baby boys as they splashed in the Nile waters. All of the hardship they forgot, and now they're saying it's better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They already had themselves in a grave, or the prospect of drowning in the waters of the Red Sea. But I like Moses' message. Exodus 14 and 13, here's what Moses said to the people. "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." That was quite a prophecy. That was quite a recognition of what the Lord was going to do for them. Verse 14, he went on to assure them, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now, the 10 plagues, the pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, the presence of the Lord, all of these aspects would increase their faith, would help them to understand they're not alone. And thank God, the message that Moses shared with them was powerful, and the results even more so. It is the same kind of message that we read in Deuteronomy 20, the same type of message that Moses wrote out for the priests to deliver to the people of God as they were going forth into battle. And thank God the results often were the same as well. Now, as I said, Deuteronomy 11, chapter 11 through about chapter 27, a whole bunch of instructions, a lot of direction for the people of God. And I like the way Deuteronomy 11 starts out by listing great acts of God and how he was able to bring them through and deliver them. They were told how to deal with idolatry, how to deal with false prophets, to work with the tithe and the treatment of others, the Passover and the numerous feasts that were put in place in their worship, kings that would come, prophets, priests, and thank God this instruction that we read for our text from Deuteronomy 20, the priest preparing the people of God for battle. "A people more than thou." That wasn't a difficulty. Even though they numbered 600,000 men and probably over 2 million people, that was not difficult for them to find someone more than them, someone that would be more intimidating, someone that would be more prepared for battle. But the priest reminded them, when you see somebody that numbers far more than you, a group of people, a nation, an encampment, and they have horses, they have chariots, which would probably be a reminder of how the Egyptians pursued them up to the shores of the Red Sea. He's letting them know, this is not something for you to fear. This is not something for you to tremble about. And I like the way David wrote about it in Psalm 20 and verse 7. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." And thank the Lord they had faith in what they knew to be true, what they knew to be right. We remember Elisha, the prophet, assuring his servant as they were surrounded in the city of Dothan and the enemies surrounding that city and knowing they were going to be captured and perhaps executed. But Elisha assured his servant, "There are more that be with us than that be with them." Praise God. And so the priest gave a powerful message against fear. He emphasized it. He dealt with it again and again. Notice what he said. "Be not afraid. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. neither be ye terrified. Five phrases that attack the aspect of fear that so often is something that we as people, we as humans, struggle with. So many things that would come against us, so many powerful aspects that would inspire fear. But the priest went on to emphasize God's presence, God's power. The Lord thy God is with thee, he said. He brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And I like the way he includes the beginning of the phrase that we call the Shema. Hear, O Israel. I wonder if it was in the same vein, the same Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. You know, the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies. And then finally, to save you. Praise God. That was going to be the outcome. That was going to be the result. It was not going to be a battle by which they would just barely emerge as victors or barely survive and only a handful left to continue on the name of the people of Israel. No, the Lord would come forth with his power and his blessing. Praise God. And I like the way Joshua being mentored by Moses. Remember now, Joshua was one of the reconnaissance squad that Moses sent out, 12 individuals, but only two came back with a positive outlook. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, saying, we are able. Let's go. We can conquer. It was Joshua who accompanied Moses before he went up on the mount. It was Joshua who led the people of Israel to defeat Amalek when Moses held his arms up. And when he became tired, Amalek had the battle sway in their favor. Aaron and Hur, realizing what was going on, guided Moses to a rock and had him sit down so that they could hold his arms aloft. And Joshua then finished the battle. Joshua was there many, many times to see the leadership of Moses, and now he's beneficial or the beneficiary of it all as well. Moses told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 31 and 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Thank God for those encouraging messages. And likewise, Moses told Joshua in Deuteronomy 31 and 7, be strong and of a good courage. In verse 8, the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Thank God for the powerful message that they were able to receive. And the hand of the Lord that was upon Joshua. And just as the Lord was with Moses, he assured Joshua, I will be with thee. In Joshua 1 and 5, the conversation that Joshua recorded that he had with the Lord. And the Lord assuring him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Thank God the Lord has that assurance for every generation. The Lord has that message for everyone who is going to take up the banner and march forth in the name of Jesus Christ, that they are likewise going to have the power and the presence of the Lord. Not going forth in their own might, not going forth in their own abilities, but the power of God being there to minister to them as well. In verse 6, the Lord would speak again to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. I like the emphasis there. I like the repetition. Sometimes repetition is boring. Sometimes it's just something that you kind of sigh and say, we're reading that again, we're hearing that again. But I love this repetition of the Lord declaring again and again, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Thank God for the power of the Lord to be there for us and to be the strength that we need to have. I'm thankful that the battle that we as believers face in the end times need not be something that is terrifying. Luke 21 and 9, The Lord said, when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. The Lord warned about conflict. He warned about persecution. He foretold natural disasters. He said there would be distress of nations. But verse 28 is what we hold on to in the promise of the Lord. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Thank God that the power of the Lord is there to minister to us and to strengthen us and to be lifted up. I have the word neither in parentheses because it can be removed, and the devil would definitely like for it to be removed. The devil would definitely like to emphasize the message, be ye terrified. The devil wants to cancel our faith with fear. The devil wants to build fear out of nothing and make it seem as though it's going to overcome every aspect of faith and the promises of God. The devil will try to eliminate God's word in your heart with the words of doubt and magnify those words of doubt and amplify those words of doubt until it seems as though that's all you can think about. That's all you can focus on. But don't be terrified. Praise God. I'm thank the Lord that there is that aspect of the blessings of God. But if there are those things that bring terror, perhaps that's an indication that there needs to be time spent in prayer. There needs to be the aspect of recognition of how God wants to move, how God wants to bless. 1 Peter 5 and 8 in the Living Bible warns us, be careful. Watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion, looking for some victim to tear apart. And that fear that could be instilled there if we didn't hold to the hand that is nail-scarred and try to match it on our own, we would have that aspect of fear. But thank God, the power of the Lord is there to minister in our lives. However, as I indicated, be ye terrified might be a good warning for us today. In the time that we're living in, the times that we see, the situations that we recognize that are taking place, the lack of objectivity in reporting, the opinion editorials that are put forth as though they are fact, and news instead of just somebody's opinion, the liberal versus conservative aspects that are in place now, put things that are right, things that are from the Word of God, things that we should be standing for in a negative light. There are those on the left. There are those who would champion immoral values, perversion displayed in a favorable light, the rights of the unborn ignored while rights of the immoral are protected. There's this candidate today who proclaimed that he was going to have a task force that was going to take care of the 500 children of illegal immigrants and make sure that task force was going to take care of those 500 children of illegal immigrants. What about the 3,000 lives that were lost today in America alone because of abortion? What about those situations that rise up because of people who are immoral and not willing to take a stand? I pray, oh God, if there's something that should terrify us, it should be the aspect of the loss of life that we see in our country because of abortion, respect for authority that is lacking, people who call what is wrong right, and call what is right wrong. If they do it often enough, they will convince others. Isaiah 5 and 20, the Bible says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If they do it often enough, as we've seen in the media, if they do it continuously enough, it's going to turn out that way. Preposterous, but successful in their deceit. The outright bias that we see, what a difficulty, what a hardship. The hampering, the limiting, the eliminating of coverage of stories not helpful to the left. It almost reads like a spy novel. Some incriminating papers being sent in a box from one city to another. the box arriving with the documents removed. It almost seems as though that's made up, that someone is just putting it out there. But oh no, understand that is what is happening. And I was shocked to read the words of a popular pastor, author from Minnesota, John Piper. He doesn't want to vote for either candidate. He clarified, I'm not voting for either Trump or Biden. He said he's baffled by the fact that so many Christians seem to be sure that they are saving human lives and freedoms by treating as minimal the destructive effects of the spreading gangrene of high-profile, high-handed, culture-shaping sin. Now, he's putting it in the right perspective. We know there are those aspects of sin. We know that there are those aspects of unrighteousness. But I've got to be able to make the choice that says if there can be some lives saved by voting for one candidate, that's what I'm going to do. If there can be a stand for righteousness and biblical principles by voting for one candidate, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to whitewash the whole thing or use the same brush to paint them black. No, I'm going to exercise what God has put within us in our stand as Americans. By not voting, you just curse the darkness without trying to turn on the light. And John Piper, I'm sorry to say, you just opened the door for lukewarm, waffling believers to not cast their vote because they don't care. They don't want to be inconvenienced as standing in line at the polls. They don't want to catch the COVID-19 or some other bug as they're there in the public. They don't want to seem like they're endorsing wrong. You just opened the door for something that should terrify us. And oh, how important to cast your vote. I used to look at it at the lesser of two evils, and perhaps we can still view it in that way. But now I look at it as voting for the candidate who could do the most possible good according to biblical principles. They won't do all the good we want. Oh, no. They won't stand for all the righteousness we desire. No, but they will do the most good, and that's who you need to vote for. But statements like this, a popular pastor and author, is something we should be terrified about. The spending in the election year, millions spent on advertising. The media would seem to want to present both sides so that they could capitalize on the spending. I guess capitalize is becoming a bad word sometimes in our socialist-leaning directions here. All the mail, all the phone calls that we've been receiving, it'll be good to have November 3rd over and done with. I shared with you last year the amount of money spent on Halloween and the National Retail Federation saying that $9 billion is going to be spent on Halloween. And this was in 2019. $3.2 billion spent on costumes, including for pets. $2.7 billion on decorations. $2.6 billion on candy. $400 million on greeting cards. Maybe it's not going to be to that extent this year. Maybe COVID-19 would slow down the spending a little bit in those categories. But it's far, far beyond what the Christian church is spending on missions and evangelism. Oh, God, help us to understand that there are some things we need to be concerned about. There are some aspects of this life and this world that we need to understand. We've got to have prayer. We've got to have action. We've got to make sure we're doing what God would expect of us. I'm thankful that we can terrify the adversary. The devils believe, the Bible says, the devils believe there is one God, and they tremble. Thank God, tremble appears 53 times in the King James Version of the Bible. And I like especially how James 2:19 emphasizes the devils believe and tremble. Thank God there was one God. And we do well in believing that there is one. Amen. And thank God the devil recognizes there is one. And he needs to tremble about a praying church. He needs to tremble at the blood of Jesus Christ. He needs to tremble at the move of the Spirit of the Lord upon his people. He needs to tremble at the power of the name of Jesus Christ. You ever notice how before they were cast out, they acknowledged the Holy One of Israel? Thank God. He still has to say, Jesus, I know, because he knows how powerful he is. He knows how great our God is. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank God for that power that we can know and rest assured is within the people of God. And the Lord not being ashamed to call us his people and to call himself our God. And I pray that there is not a shame within us to say, he is my Father and I am his child. Praise God. We are not sufficient of ourselves. I'm not saying there's any kind of sufficiency within us. No, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Thank the Lord. There is that sufficiency. There is that power. There is that adequacy. There is that enough, thank man, that God would desire to put within us. It's about Jesus. It's about his power. It's about his name. He is our sufficiency. He is our competency. He is our qualification. He is our ability. And thank God that strength is there. And we're in a powerful position because he's our God and we are his people. He is our Father. We are his sons and daughters. Oh, what a relationship that the Lord has called us unto. I trust that we're going to stand in that area and recognize how important it is that we know our privilege. We know our position. We know who our Father is. And we know his power and his blessing is upon his people. And thank God, darkness can be denied. We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are that chosen generation. We are that royal priesthood. We are the people that the Lord would call out of darkness and move us into the privileges that he has in store for us. He delivered us, Colossians 1 and 13 says, delivered us from the power of darkness. And thank God that power is still what we are tapping into, still recognizing how God would make it available for us. The rulers of darkness of this world are what we wrestle against. And thank God they are not going to have dominion. They're not going to be able to triumph. The Lord said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He is coming back for his church and he'll present to himself his church without having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And thank God there will be that victory. There will be that power. There will be that dimension of God showing his power and his blessing in our lives. Amen. I know it's just a song. I know it's words that we put together to a tune, but I like it so well. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. And I pray that that is a song that resonates within us in this hour. I pray it's words that we will believe and receive from the Lord. I pray it is something we declare to a world that needs to hear, a world that is lost in that darkness, a world that is stumbling about trying to find a way, a world that thinks they have found what is going to be the answer. But oh, I pray, God, help us to stand. Help us, Lord, to understand. Oh, no, not being terrified, because we know our God is with us. Hallelujah. His power is there for us. And we read again what the priest was to say to the people of God. Hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. And do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Praise God. And I would pray that the priest of each home would be able to have those words to present to their family and to be able to stand upon them in faith and assurance and to recognize the hand of God is going to be there to minister in every aspect of our being, every aspect of our life, no matter what the questions are that we face in this day and age, no matter what the outcomes may be, no matter what is going to happen, I'm going to put my trust in God and know He's going to be there for us and the direction that we need to have. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. And I pray, oh God, let that happen to every heart. Let that happen to every believer. Let that happen to everyone who claims the name of Jesus Christ. And let us walk in that aspect of power and blessing. Let's praise the Lord together. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your strength today. I thank you for the goodness, Lord, that you've brought to your people in great abundance. I thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us, but you have, Lord, the means by which to bring us into victory. You have the means, God, to provide for us in every aspect and every way. Touch us now, Lord, in your word. Touch us now, Lord, in your spirit. Make us overcomers, O God, more than conquerors, that we'd be able to believe you and claim your promises today. Stand as light shining in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, proclaiming the word of life and knowing, God, you have so much available. You have so great things available. Help us, Lord, to proclaim it, not to be intimidated, not to be pushed back into a corner, but, oh God, to step forward with light, to step forward with power, to make the darkness tremble. Oh God, that we can believe your precious word, and we thank you for it in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I want us to pray for the next few minutes. We have situations in our church, in our body, of people who are vulnerable to COVID-19, and we're going to claim God's protection, God's hand upon them. The abbots are struggling with COVID-19. Brother David Gilbert tested positive. We want the Lord to minister to him. And Sister Sandra, the Adams. I'm just going to name some that I'm concerned about who may be vulnerable because of their asthma or because of COPD or whatever the problem existing condition might be. The Adams, Sister Arlene, Sister Marilyn, Sister Trish, Tom and Celia Hu. These elderly folks that could easily have a terrible outcome of an infection of COVID-19, we're going to pray God's protection over them. We're going to pray God's blessing over them. We're going to claim the blood of Jesus Christ for them right now in the name of the Lord. Oh, my God, I call upon you, Lord Jesus, for these folks. I pray, Lord God, that these believers would be touched by you and covered by your blood. Help the abbots right now, Lord. Minister, I pray, to them. Touch them and strengthen them, O Lord. Raise them up for your glory and for your power. Help the Gilberts, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, especially Brother David. Touch him now, Lord. Strengthen him now, Lord. Oh, Jesus, in your mighty name, be with the Adams. Help them, Lord God. Provide for them, Lord God. Minister to them, Lord God. Oh, God, for Sister Arlene. Provide for her now, Lord, and touch her, Jesus, in her body. Sister Marilyn, God. Sister Trish, Lord. Oh, Savior, do a work for them now. Touch them, God, by your Spirit. Cover them with your blood. Help the Who's, Lord. Help Tom. Help Celia. God, oh God, let your hand be upon them in a special way. Show your power, God. Show your might. Oh, Lord, that all the families that we've mentioned tonight would have loved ones who would show, God, that they were watching you and watching your power. Lord, that there are those who may have been cold in their spirit would come back to you. Those that need to be refreshed, those that need to be renewed. Move, God, in their lives, in their hearts now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise your great name. Amen. Amen. Now I want us to pray for those who have tested positive. A number of us have. I'm thankfully done with my quarantine period, And others have as well. God bless Brother Levi for being here. And many others who have tested positive who have gone through these situations. The Villas hoping to go on a trip to see their granddaughter. And we're going to pray. God, just keep your hand upon your people. Just use and minister to each one. And provide the touch of the Lord in every life. And so a good number in our church, and that's why I've asked for just an online service tonight. Hopefully, let's pray that God would heal and lift up many, many more so that we are able to come together on Sunday and have a service together. Let's pray together again. Our Lord and Savior, I thank you, Lord, that you have the healing touch and the answer for all of us, Lord, who are struggling with the various aspects of sickness now that are upon us. We rebuke it now in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask your healing, Lord. We ask your help, Lord. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon every home, upon every family, upon every believer, God. We ask you, Jesus, for your touch to heal, to raise up, to strengthen. Oh, God, to minister, Lord, and to be able to return to church, be able to return to their jobs, be able to do the work, Lord God, that's going to magnify you and lift up your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercies today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your help and your goodness. Oh, God, we ask you now to minister in every life, and touch, Lord God, everyone who tested positive, everyone, Lord, who's not feeling well, everyone who is struggling. We ask you, God, to bring faith. We ask you, Lord, to bring your presence. Oh, God, let your promises become even more real, and let your presence lift up and strengthen. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. But, oh, God, through your power, we're able to overcome. Through your power, we're able to step forward into victory. Through your power and your presence, Lord, we're able, Jesus, to bring your name into glory and to lift you up. Help us now, Lord God. We praise you and glorify you for your goodness. We praise you and glorify you for being our sufficiency. We're not sufficient in ourselves, Lord. We look to you. We call upon your great name. We plead your blood. We ask for your power and your presence to be with us. Thank you, Lord. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word now. Keep us, Lord God, in your hand. Keep us in your presence. We thank you and glorify you in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you so much. Thank you for being a part of the Bible study tonight. I trust it's been a blessing to you. Do pray for one another and watch for an email. And hopefully we'll be able to give a good word that let's come together again in the name of Jesus Christ right here in our church and enjoy our fellowship together, enjoy the word of God together, and be lifted up in his presence. God bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name.